السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد Over the past few days we have been discussing the dua of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which is on page 11 of this kitab Treasures from the Quran and Hadith I have been giving you a detailed explanation of that dua That in that dua we are seeking from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala a protection from the snatching away of the ni'mats. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min zawali ni'matik wa tahawwuli afiyatik. And the turnaround of the well-being of the person is asking Allah ta'ala for a protection. It mustn't become a turnaround of the fortune that Allah Ta'ala has given him. And also he is asking Allah Ta'ala for protection from sudden calamity and all forms of anger. I was discussing the last part of it, all forms of anger. And I can go on that for the whole year inshallah. But let us take one other dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam which is very, very relevant to our times. That we should be seeking from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is on page 16 of the same book in which Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported that Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said, seek protection in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala from jahdil bala wa darki shaqa wa su'il qada wa shamatatil a'da. Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, That must seek protection in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The dua will be Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jahdil bala wa darki shaqa wa su'il qada wa shamatatil a'da. I seek refuge in Allah ta'ala from jahdil bala. Jahdil bala means this. That the person is tested so severely, the person is tested so severely by Allah Ta'ala, he is caught up in such kind of tribulation, trial, misfortune, that he wishes for death. That the person says that I wish I am dead, I wish for death, which is a very, very common thing these days. Every week without fail, I must get at least 4 to 5 calls. Without fail, 4 to 5 calls I must get from some woman, some sister, some man, some youngster, some young girl who will say that I rather take my life. I rather take my life. I can't take this anymore. I am so heartbroken. And most of the time they are heartbroken. Why? Because somebody stole their heart. For silly things and for trivial things and over just love affairs. Of course there will be some other cases where there has been abuse, where there has been torture, where there has been all kinds of affliction. But most of the cases are for no other reason but just some person promised that he will marry her. They went out for 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, and then the person married somebody else, so I rather take my life. So this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, that the person is tested so severely, or he's in such affliction, or such a kind of tribulation, or misfortune, or distress, that the person wishes for death. So you're asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection from that kind of affliction, from that kind of misfortune, where you say that I just cannot take this pain anymore. It's not necessary that it's a love affair that's the only problem. But sometimes it is a financial problem. Sometimes it is a business problem. Sometimes it is a marital problem. Sometimes it is poverty problem. Sometimes a person is so poor and he tries everything. He goes to the marketplace, he makes an effort, but unfortunately there's no jobs. When he comes home, the children are crying, there's no food. He goes to the organizations, they say we've got too much of cases and too little funds, because too much of our funds are going in administration. There's so many organizations, how much of money is going in administration? So where will the money be left then for the poor and the needy? Nevertheless, so there are different reasons why the person says that he just cannot bear or tolerate that pain anymore, or that difficulty. He just cannot see those children cry. Or there has been war, or there has been famine, or there has been some other kind of disaster in that country, like in Palestine and other places, where people who were living quite well, they were eating, they were drinking, they had home, they had everything in Iraq and other places. But the bombs destroyed everything. In Afghanistan and other places, how many became refugees? So sometimes the person, because of that iman being a little weak, he says that I can't take this, I'd rather take my life. And not only does he say that, but many do take their lives. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we are seeking protection in him from that kind of test or trial or affliction where we say, hands up, I just can't take this anymore and I'd rather take my life. So isn't it necessary that we seek protection in Allah ta'ala? Because he is the one who will send that difficulty. Why it will come is again the same explanation that I gave yesterday, that all forms of anger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when we are going to indulge in certain kinds of sins, then certain kinds of problems will come. That is the general rule. There will be exceptions to that, the awliya of Allah ta'ala, the nek and pious and righteous ones, they will also be tested. But then Allah ta'ala will also give them sabr and patience in that test. We haven't heard of one wali of Allah ta'ala up till now, the whole 1400 years plus of Islamic history, or right from the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam up till now, have you ever heard that one wali of Allah ta'ala, he said that I got sick and tired of the problems. So therefore, the person said, I got sick and tired, or I am sick and tired, I'd rather take my life, and he took his life. And yet, what kind of trials they went through. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu's trial was that an easy trial. But it is as Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, that I'd rather take my life. So Allah ta'ala gives them that sabr even in that condition. But weak people like us, we cannot bear, we cannot tolerate. Then we say we'd rather be dead. We'd rather be under the surface of the earth than being on top of it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there's one hadith sharif in Mishkat sharif, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have said that Qiyamah will not come. Qiyamah will not come. Hatta yamur rajul, until a person will pass by. He will pass by a grave. A person, he will be passing by a grave. When he'll pass by that grave, then suddenly he'll return to that grave. After passing that grave, suddenly again he'll return to that grave. And then what will he say at that grave? At that grave the person will say, Ya laytani kuntu makana sahib haza al-qabr. I wish that I was in place of that person who is lying in this grave. NDB 795 and ND332263. Somebody wants to come out, just remove your cover. So he will say, I wish I would have been in the place of this person that's in this grave. That will be his wish. He passed by the grave and he came back there. وَلَيْسَ بِهِ الدِّينِ إِلَّا الْبَلَىٰ. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this will not be because of his deen, that the person cannot seem to practice on deen, or is having difficulty in practicing on deen, and therefore he wished that he was under the surface of the earth in place of that person in the grave. It's not his deen, it is that bala, that tribulation, that severe test that he is going through, or that severe affliction, that severe problem, that severe trial which he is going through, which he can't bear. So that is why he returns and he says, I wish I was in the place of this person that's in the grave here. So that is jahd-e bala. So we are asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min jahdil bala. That, O Allah, I seek protection in you from being so severely tried and tested, or such a kind of affliction or misfortune coming upon me. I'm just giving an explanation. Such a kind of trial coming upon me that I cannot bear it, and then I become desirous of death because it becomes unbearable. Now, how many people are suffering that kind of problem today? Sometimes it's a sickness and the person is going through different operations, and then he says that, well, I can't take this anymore. I'd rather be dead than alive. So Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min jahdil bala. And as I've said, that these type of tests are coming around the world now. People, suddenly they are afflicted. It's not that they were poor, they were very rich. Suddenly they just became poor. They had everything going for them, and suddenly everything is snatched away and taken away. It is again connected with that dua, Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min zawali ni'mati. That now, because of that, the person has become so restless, so impatient, and so hopeless. Whereas a person should never ever lose hope in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. How many a times it has happened before our very eyes, that the person who thought that the end of the world had come for him, but if it had been his sins that has caught up with him, he turned towards Allah Ta'ala, he made sincere tawbah from all his sins, he repented, he begged of Allah Ta'ala, and overnight so many people's taqdeer has changed again. Everything has opened up. And then they themselves will say after that, I thought that that was the end of the world for me, but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala opened the doors again. So a Muslim and a believer in Allah Ta'ala, he does not lose hope, does not lose his trust and faith in Allah Ta'ala. Yes, what he does is he checks his actions all the time. Where have I gone wrong? Just as there are x-rays for everything these days, and they scan your brains and scan everything else. So in the same way, we should be scanning our hearts all the time. And the scan for our hearts is the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That's the machine that we have to bring in front of our heart and then check. That scan will show where we have gone wrong. What is the problem with our spiritual self? And why is it that we have become so restless and feeling so hopeless and feeling so broken-hearted and feeling so sad? And why is it that we want to take our life? That scan will show that it is these sins which have caught up with you. These sins are the cause of your problem. Therefore, in another dua, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allahumma arhamni bi tarkil ma'asi wa la tushqini bi ma'asiyatik. O Allah, have mercy upon me by the giving up of sins. When the person will give up sins, now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had no sin. He was sinless, masoom. But those duas were for us. That Allah Ta'ala's mercy will come when the person gives up sins. وَلَا تُشْقِنِي بِمَعْصِيَتِكَ. And don't make me miserable, wretched, unfortunate because of disobedience of yours. So again, it's very clear, it's clear as the daylight sun, that Allah Ta'ala's mercy, Allah Ta'ala's rahmat is when the person gives up sins. And when he's indulging in sins, then that's the time he's miserable, he's wretched, or that's the time we can say he is an unfortunate person, unlucky person. That is what brings about misfortune. People are running around for taweezes to remove difficulties and balas and problems. Taweez has got a place, but it does not solve the problem of sins. If the person is indulging in sins and is continually engaging in sins and expecting that ta'weezes will solve the problem, it will never ever solve it. Some amils and some of these people who write ta'weezes, they have made people, or they have given them bunches of ta'weez. There was one person, got one on the right shoulder, one on the left shoulder, one behind his back, one round his neck. I said, what? I said, how many ta'weezes? Every time that amil said, come back again, if you still don't feel well, he gave him another one ta'weez. But the person is not prepared to give up the sins in his life. If you have to ask them what they indulge in, then you come to know. So that is the first thing that we have to put right. So bring that scanning machine in front, it will show where have I gone wrong. So the first part of this dua, Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min jahdil bala. Oh Allah, protect me, save me from such a kind of tribulation coming upon me, such a kind of trial or test coming upon me, that I can't bear it and I become desirous of death. So that one explanation of that, that the person came back, it was not because of his deen. That means it wasn't that because he can't practice upon deen, he's staying in such a country or such a place, he's finding difficulty. So then many people think that it is better we be under the surface of the earth than being on top of the earth where we can't practice upon deen. Here it is because of some bala, some test. So that is one explanation. And another explanation that's given of that Hadith Sharif is that that person, because of those balas and because of those tests and because of that wretchedness in his life and because of that misery that he's going through and because of all the affliction that he is facing, he has already lost his iman. He has blurted out so much of nonsense from his mouth, as we hear always. That where is Allah Ta'ala's mercy? If Allah Ta'ala was merciful, then why is he testing me like this? Why is he not removing this difficulty of mine? I made dua day and night and nothing happened. Why is he not listening to my dua? Na'uzu billah, such kind of statements they will make. And some even say, I got tired of Allah. I actually heard with my own ears. I'm not giving you a hearsay thing. The person says on the telephone, I had enough. I read namazes too, I made dua too, I made tilawat too, and I'm tired of that Allah. So I said, well, if you're tired, go and find another Allah. If this Allah you are tired of, then go and find another Allah and see if he solves your problem. I said, that is the problem, that is what is causing you all this distress and misery, that your iman is so weak that you are ordering Allah Ta'ala that I made dua, so I must have what I've asked. And if I don't get it, I won't believe in you. Na'uzu billah. Is that the way a Muslim asks dua? Is that is how the person should be making dua? That, oh Allah, if you don't give it to me, then I won't believe in you. Or I'll say I'm tired of you. So the person has already lost his iman. That is why now he's saying, I wish I was in place of this man in this qabr here. So these are times of fitnas where the person doesn't even know when his iman has left him. So we should be making this dua with sincerity, from the depths of our heart, asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for protection. Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min jahdil bala. I will just read the rest of it. Tomorrow inshallah we will continue. Wa darki shaqa wa su'il qada wa shamatatil a'da. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. These books are available here in the library free of charge. You will find it on page 16, inshallah. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us yaqeen, faith and trust in Him. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala remove our difficulties, problems and that of the entire ummah throughout the world. The last few nights and days are left. Make the best of Ramadan. We don't know whether we'll see another one. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. I was just replying to one letter yesterday which I received about the same radio station business. it. Some ulama are saying that it's permissible to use it, some are saying not permissible to use it, some are saying it's haram to have any program on the radio. So what is your view, what this confusion, how can we remove? So I've got the letter reply, there's about 14, 15 things that I've mentioned there. Nevertheless, I said the radio is a media which you can use for the propagation of deen. There's nothing wrong in using it. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, that great Mufti Azam of Pakistan, no ordinary person, the tafsir which we have in our hands, Ma'riful Quran, it started off on radio station. Now Radio Pakistan was not a very Islamic station. Lots of other things also came there, but he had his tafsir there. Why? Because he was not controlling the radio station. That is the bottom line. That if ulama are controlling that station, if it is in the control of the ulama, or those who are the guides, then it is not allowed, it's not permissible for them to have any kind of haram program. Anything that is un-Islamic, not compliant with Sharia, it is not permissible. There must be no compromise on that. However, if the station is being controlled by non-ulama, and the ulama are given an opportunity to say something, then within the confines of Sharia, without compromising on the principles of deen, and without lavishing too much of praise on them when they are indulging in other kind of un-Islamic activities. If, like our program is taken from the masjid, how many times I've been asked to come there, but knowing that there's so much of mix-up and intermingling and whatnot takes place there. So if we have a broadcast of this nature, then the fatwa on that it is permissible. But the person must not compromise on his deen. He must not twist and turn the fatwas and maslas just to suit the radio station. That if there are some haram programs, some programs that are not Islamically correct, and if somebody has to ask, then the person must say straight that that program is not right. And to make it known to the listeners also that they should only listen to selected programs, Qiraat, Naat Sharif. The Naat Sharif also is recited by a male person, then you listen to it. But if there's a female reciting a Naat Sharif, or even if she's reading Quran Sharif with Qiraat on the radio station, it's not permissible for us to listen to that. So now if these things are said openly, then there is no problem. I just clarified this because of the confusion. As for those who say that it is totally haram and it is totally not permissible or it is totally rejected, that is their view. You have different views. Some are on the extremes where everything seems to be completely haram. So then how is a person then going to practice? We must be very, very careful before we run to a conclusion that a thing is totally haram. Sometimes it could be lesser of the two evils. Sometimes it could be that because of certain reasons you can make use of that facility. There are many, many different factors. Now, for us the best is look at our akabir, look at our seniors, our elders. Not just any elder and any senior, those who were muttaqi elders, those who had nothing to really gain from that station. It was not something, it was not a business deal that they had struck. There was no partnership in there, or there was no commission, or no wages, no salary, nothing. Solely for the sake of deen, they had some program. Then Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, he's a great wali, great alim, great mufti, recognized by internationally. And Khalifa Hazrat Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Alayh. Now, he didn't know what to have tafsir on the Quran. He used to just have it recorded and he used to play his tapes. In fact, one of the last bayans of his before he passed away, a day or two before he passed away, they had come to him, Radio Pakistan, to say something on Laylatul Qadr. He was very sick, very ill. So first he asked somebody else, they said, no, please, if you can. So he had it recorded. They came home, they recorded it, and then they played that on the station. Now millions of people must have heard it and benefited. I mention this just to clear your doubts. Because sometimes shaitan creates that kind of doubts. That why is it accepting this? We are not chasing after them. They are chasing. I made it very clear that whilst I'm speaking, if the time is past, if you want, switch it off. I got nothing to worry about. Our programs will carry on. But if they are playing it and people are listening and benefiting, as I am getting a lot of calls, people are benefiting, then we'll still tell them. Privately I tell them what I think is wrong. Because I don't get a chance to listen and I can't listen to. My mizaj has become like that. That you don't find much noor in many of the programs. Before when we used to listen, some of the programs, there's no noor in it. And especially with the amount of flooding of voices of females and unnecessarily. Again, it's not totally haram to listen to the female voice. In business, in other places, you have to listen, talk. But when they use their voices for enticing people to buy products, on Muslim stations, in adverts and other things, and also when the voices are of singing women, so all these things create a lot of darkness. Now where can in these days people understand what is darkness and what is light? When we talk about creates darkness, a person can only understand what is darkness if there had been light. Like now we can understand darkness because there is light. So if we switch it off, there will be darkness. But if it was dark all the time, then if you talk about darkness, it will create darkness. What will the person understand darkness? So until there is no noor in the heart, the person won't know what is darkness, which is caused by disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. But if the person just gets an understanding of what is light, if he has noor in his heart, then the slightest sin will create such darkness in that heart that the person will sense it. And then he will make so much of tawbah and istighfar, then again he will sense light and brightness. I always give that example of this light switch. That when a person starts making progress in his spiritual life, he reaches a stage, not after a long time, very quickly, if he's making sincere tawbah, where the heart begins to then sense this darkness and light. It's a beautiful sensation also. It's kind of a meter, a gauge, kind of a sensor. The moment the person commits sin, he finds himself restless. He finds something dark inside. Now he starts making tawbah, istighfar, making zikr, tilawat. Ask Allah Ta'ala for maafi, then again he finds a brightness. He can feel it, he can enjoy that brightness. But all these things are again not to be understood with words. They can only be understood by action. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala accept your itikaf and your zikr and tilawat and ibadat and du'as.